As Christians, each one of us has experienced what is referred to in the Bible as the new birth. Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." John 3:3-5. When you and I rose from the waters of baptism, experiencing the new birth, we at that point became new creatures in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. As new creatures, each one of us is called to walk in newness of life. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. A simple process, is it not? A new birth, a new creature, walking in newness of life. We have for about 12 weeks been involved in a study entitled, "What We've Become." When you and I became Christians, we became more than just Christians. We became many other things as well. And tonight we are looking at that phrase, "We have become new creatures in Christ." For the next few moments, we want to look at what that means. As far as we are concerned, what does that mean as far as my duty and my obligation unto God is concerned? We have only three little points. Number one, as new creatures, you and I are supposed to grow in Christ Jesus. As a new creature, you and I enter into the family of God as mere babes, do we not? And in order to become everything that God wants us to become, it is absolutely necessary that you and I grow in Christ, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. My friends, you and I are going to grow over time. When a new child enters into this world, he will experience many growth spurts until the ages of somewhere around 16 to 20 years old. In the course of time, an individual is going to grow, but that growth in Christ is not going to happen accidentally. That growth is going to happen intentionally if it is going to happen. Just like that child growing, that child is going to grow because it was intentional for that child to grow. And there are two things that are absolutely necessary in the growth process. Number one, there is the necessity of food for the soul. In order for us to grow in Christ, my friends, you and I are going to have to eat. That ought to make some people happy. Every time they hear the word eat, they just light up. Where's the food? My friends, there's food available for the Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it is literally an abundant feast. And you can eat and eat and eat and never, ever get full and experience enough. Isn't that great? That food is found in the Word of the living God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It is sad to think that here is an abundance of food available for the Christian soul, for his inner man. And yet there are many Christians who are just as malnourished as they can possibly be. Many individuals eat their spiritual food very sporadically, don't they? Have you ever seen those individuals who just never stop and take the time to eat? Literally. They're so busy, they're on the go, that they forget breakfast, they forget lunch, they forget dinner, and then about midnight they go, you know, I just haven't eaten all day. Folks, that's not good for you. And it's not good for the spiritual man as well. To go a day or two or three or four or a week or a month and not partake of spiritual food. There are some individuals who just don't eat right, do they? Oh, they love the sweets. They love the goodies. And they'll partake of that all day long. I know some children, if you take them to a food bar, especially for breakfast, guess what they eat? They eat about 40 donuts. Don't give me that other stuff. Just give me the sweets. Give me the goodies. That's what some people want in the church, just the goodies. There are many individuals who don't want the meat. They don't want the taters. They don't want the good stuff that's going to really help your body grow and function. My friends, you and I must learn how to study. Not only must we learn how to study, once we learn how to do it, we must study well and we must study often. We need spiritual food for our souls. But eating alone is not enough, is it? Now remember, I'm encouraging you to eat as often as you want, as much as you want of the Word of God. But eating alone is not enough, not for spiritual growth. There also has to be exercise, don't they? But refuse profane and old wives' fables. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. What does Paul mean in this text? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You and I must reach a point where we put what we have eaten into action. There has to be the application of God's Word in our lives in order for us to truly grow spiritually. But be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1, verse 21. Some people think I'm crazy, my wife one of them, because I love to watch tennis. Now, go watch tennis sometime, folks. Sit there in front of a television set 2 hours and watch tennis. Back and forth and back and forth. Right? I love to watch it. It doesn't matter whether it's the guys or it doesn't matter whether it's the girls. I love to watch tennis. Now, I could watch tennis during every match all year long, couldn't I? I can say, you know, I need to learn a little bit more about tennis. So I order me 4 tennis magazines. And I devour those magazines. And I say, you know, this is pretty good stuff. I think I'll order some tapes. So I order some CDs and I put them in. And man, I'm just watching tennis 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let me ask you something. Am I going to be worth a hoot on the court? Folks, I could watch tennis all day long. I could read all the magazines I wanted to. I could watch all the videos. But unless I get a racket and unless I go down to that court, I will never compete with Roger Federer. Never. The same goes with tennis. I mean, with golf. You'd never beat Tiger Woods. There's got to come a time when you get out of the house, you go down to the court, and guess what you do? You practice and you practice and you practice and you practice. You exercise yourself in that discipline. The same is true with the Word of God. It's not enough to know what the Bible says. I've got to put that word of God in practice in my life in order to grow spiritually. You go back and you look at the Bible greats, and guess what is something that is common in every one of them? They grew. Abraham went from an idolatrous family to a man of faith to a friend of God. Moses went from a shepherd in the land of Midian to a lawgiver to the leader of a great nation of people. Esther went from a little orphan to queen to the savior of her people. Peter, James, and John went from lowly fishermen to apostles to fishers of men. Paul went from rabbi to apostle to one persecuted for the cause of Christ. Individuals who are new creatures make certain they do everything in their power to grow. That's one responsibility of the new creature. The second responsibility of the new creature is this. You and I have the responsibility of putting off that old man of sin. Now, when you and I became Christians, we were supposed to have crucified that old man, weren't we? We were supposed to put that old man of sin to death. He was supposed to die. We were no longer supposed to be slaves to sin, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That we should not henceforth serve sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. However, that old man of sin, he does not die easily, does he? That old man wants to rise from the dead, doesn't he? That old man wants to live again. And that old man wants to control, he wants to direct, he wants to govern my life once more, doesn't he? Have you ever felt his resurrection in your life occasionally? I find it interesting that when Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he tells them to do something. And guess what he tells them? Put off the old man. And after that, put off your former conversation, the old man, which is corrupted by deceitful lust. Ephesians 4, 22. Put off the old man. You see, that old man is going to want to rise in your life. He's going to want to come back again. Guess what I have to do? I have to always be vigilant. I have to always be willing to set him aside and get him out of my life. Who was Paul writing to when he wrote to the Ephesians? He was writing to individuals who were converts from the Gentiles, wasn't he? Heathen converts. The Jews referred to them as the uncircumcised. Folks, those individuals were pretty wicked, weren't they? Those individuals were pretty corrupt. I find it interesting when you go into Ephesians, the 4th chapter, Paul tells these individuals that I want you to put off the old man. He doesn't stop there. Guess what he does? He makes direct application in their lives, beginning in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. I wonder if any of those Gentiles used to be somewhat deceptive. I wonder if some of those Gentiles used to lie to one another. I wonder if some of them used to lie in their contracts, lie in their business dealings, lie to their friends, lie to their families. Paul says, oh no, you got to put off the old man, wherefore putting away lying. Second application is found in verse 26. I bet some of those guys love to get angry. At times, nobody in the 21st century has any problems with that. Not anger. Oh no. The folks they did back then. And therefore Paul says this in verse 26. Be ye angry and listen to him, sin not. That's what you've got to do now. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to experience that particular emotion, but you cannot sin when you do it. Be angry and sin not. He comes down to verse 27, and he keeps talking to these individuals about that old man. I bet some of those individuals practiced occupations that were not very healthy and wholesome. I bet some of them even were thieves and robbers and burglars who practiced breaking and entering. You know, I was reading the other day, thieves who are literal thieves by trade. They will break into houses. They will steal little girls' teddy bears. And guess what they do? They take them home and give them to their daughters as if they work for it. Ain't that something? Here you go, darling. Look what I got for you today. Another girl's teddy bear. I don't tell you that. I stole this thing. I bet some of these Gentiles used to engage in those kinds of occupations. Therefore, Paul says in verse 28, let him that stole, steal no more. Can't do that anymore. Got to put off the old man. You can't be engaged in that kind of activity. I wonder if some of those guys had foul mouths. Love to curse. Love to tell dirty jokes. Love to engage in all kinds of sexual talk and just giggle and laugh and thinks that's the funniest thing. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 29. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, there's folks that just hold on to bitterness, don't they? What that is just anger held on to a long period of time. And it just begins to seethe within inside them. And it turns into a bitter root within their heart. Bitterness. And every time they speak, guess what? It's evil speaking. Can't speak any good. Can't speak anything nice. It's just got to be evil speaking. They'd love to get back and get even. Malice. Paul says, Can't have any of that. Folks, you got to put all that off. That's the old man. That's the corrupt man. That's the man who's living in those deceitful lusts. You can't do that. You got to put those things off. One of my responsibilities as a new creature is to make dead certain that I put all of those evil things off of me. I've got to put off the old man. There are some children of God who don't want to do that. They want their beer. What's wrong with one beer? They want their night out with the boys. They want their anger. They want to be on the ball field and be able to pitch a fit and yell and scream and holler like a little 2-year-old. They want to abuse their wife. They want to mistreat their children. That's being a man. They want to curse. Got to fit in with the boys. I've got to have my little gossip circle. I mean, all women do. Got to spread some tales. Got to have the good stuff. Got to keep the grapevine going. Got to have my skimpy clothes. Got to have that tight blouse and those short skirts and show all of my femininity. You see, there's a lot of Christians who want to hold on to the old man of sin. Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ wants a new creature in Christ Jesus. He doesn't want an old man of sin who's gotten a shave and a haircut. It's not what he wants. You and I have to inspect our lives, and we got to get rid of that old junk if we're going to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now think about what we've said so far. We said, number one, our responsibility is to grow. Number two, our responsibility is to put off the old man of sin. What do you think that third responsibility is? It's just the other side of the coin, isn't it? Our responsibility now is to put on the new man. Go back to Ephesians 4 and look at verse 24. For there Paul says, and put on the new man, which is created by God in righteousness and true holiness. You see, it's not enough just to get rid of the old. I've got to put on the good stuff. Now remember those five applications that Paul made a while ago? I find it interesting that in every one of those, he doesn't stop with the command of putting off the something. He replaces it with something else. Isn't that interesting? What he's telling them is this: you got to get rid of the old, yes, but you got to put on the new. Wherefore, putting away lying, and let every man speak truth with his neighbor. You see, there's the thing you put on. I quit the lying, I quit the deceptions, I quit the falsehoods, and what do I put on? I put on truth, and that's what I speak with individuals, the truth. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Yeah, you're going to get mad. You're going to get angry. You're going to get upset. There's no doubt about that. But guess what? Don't sin. Don't let it go on for days and days and days and days. Don't even let the sun go down on your wrath. Because if it does, it seethes within your heart and it strikes out in vengeance and evil actions oftentimes, doesn't it? No, don't do that. Don't you dare in your anger give place to the devil. Paul, you mean I can't steal anymore? How am I going to make a living? How am I going to support myself? What am I going to do? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him what? Labor, working with his hand that thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Got to quit the stealing. Got to quit the burglary. Got to quit the grand theft. And guess what? You got to get down and start working and laboring, don't you? That's where you get your money. That's where you get your support. That's where you get the funds to help other individuals. You work for it. You mean I can't curse anymore? You mean I can't tell dirty jokes? What in the world do you want me to do with my mouth? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but rather that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Use your mouth for good, folks. Use your mouth to build other people up, not to tear them down. When other individuals hear you speak, make certain that what they hear is grace. Seasoned with salt, the Bible says. You see, you've got a way to speak. But what about all that bitterness and wrath and anger? What am I supposed to do with that? Look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what you do. Be kind. Be tender. Forgive people. Don't hold all that bitterness and wrath and anger in your heart. Do the positive things. You see, you and I have the responsibility of putting off the old man and making certain that we put on some of the new man as well. Now the question is this: how do I do that? That's hard, is it not? That's difficult. Oh, it's so easy to do the sinful stuff, isn't it? How in the world do I do the good stuff that God wants me to do? You go back and you look at Ephesians for a minute. In Ephesians 4:22, he tells us to do what? Put off the old man. In Ephesians 24, he tells us to put on the new man. I skipped a verse, didn't I? I skipped verse 23. And in verse 23 is the secret of how to do both. and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Folks, we're talking about a mind game is what we're talking. Every action that you and I perform starts where first? In the mind. Every action starts in the mind. Did you know every emotion that you express first originated where? In the mind. Every word that you say originates first where? In your mind. It's mind control. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. It's a mind game. Satan wants your mind, folks. And the reason he wants your mind is so that he can pervert it and corrupt it. But I fear lest that by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Satan wants your mind. He wants to corrupt it, lead it astray. Lead it against God. What does our Lord want? Our Lord wants every thought brought into obedience to Him. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing which exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. There's a war going on. And it's a war for your mind. And whoever wins this, wins your actions as well. And guess what? It is my choice. Isn't it? It's my choice who gets my mind. I can give it to Satan, and I can give it to the world, and I can conform to the world. And yet Paul urges us, don't do that in Romans 12:2, doesn't he? And be not conformed to this world. But be what? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a mind game. That's what it is. It's how I think. It's what I put in my mind. It's how I process things. Paul says you've got the choice to be like the world if you want to. You can let Satan win if you want to. Don't do that, though. Be renewed in your mind. Or I can do that latter, can I? And I can choose to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him which created us. Colossians 3:10. It's my choice, folks. You're living like the world, you're living like the devil, you're living outside the realm of God's instruction. It's because you've chosen that. And it started first in your mind. If we're living like God, and if we're living holy, righteous lives, it's because that's what we've chosen, to subject our minds to the will of God and carry that out in our life. It's a mind game. Paul summed it up. Real simply, didn't he? In 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If I am in Christ, I am supposed to be a new creation of God. What does that mean? That means that the old things are no longer a part of my life, and now I am practicing those things that are brand new. Those things that are righteous and holy and godly. Two questions. Are you in Christ? See, the only way I can be a new creature is to be where? In Christ. If I'm not in Christ, then I'm outside of Christ, and that means that I'm still living as an old man of sin. I'm still living as a servant of sin. There's people in this audience who are in that category right now. You're at the age of accountability. You know exactly what you need to do to become a Christian, and you haven't done it. Why not? Why live in sin? Put on Christ Jesus in baptism. Arise, having put Christ on, a new creature in Christ. The second thing is this, dear Christian, can you honestly say that the old has passed away and all things have become new? Is that the kind of life you're living? Maybe you need to repent of sins, confess them, and ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?